Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
You guys, this is a momentous day for Brown Ambition Podcast.
It is. We have the most brownest, the most ambitious person that I think I know in my life joining us.
She personifies Brown Ambition, and I want to do a little intro because she deserves it. I mean, come on. Our guest today is Levy Ajayi. She is an award-winning writer. If you do not read her blog, awesomelevy.com, I don't know what is going wrong with your life, but you must do it now. But she's not just a blogger. She is a writer, a speaker, a digital strategist, and she says she thrives at the intersection of comedy, technology, and activism. Levy is a 13-year blogging. So basically, since the internet was born, Levy has been blogging. She is the voice behind Awesomely Levy, of course, a humor blog that covers everything pop culture. She also has a new book out now called I'm Judging You, The Do Better Manual, which is going to be released in September 2016. Unless you want to get ahead of the game, you can pre-order it right now wherever books are sold. So
I did.
I did too. Yeah.
And you forget she's best friends with Oprah. I mean, not really.
This has been, I feel like this has been the year of Levy, but Levy, thank you so much for coming on Brown Ambition.
I am glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Are you calling us from Chicago?
Yes.
Ooh, I love the shy. Only in the summer, though, because the winter is ignorant.
Our winter is stupid. Yes.
So tell us, like, you know, what has been, because honestly, this has been the year of Levy. Every time I turn around, I'm like, well, gosh darn it. This girl is just killing it in these streets. I mean, you were killing it before. And I hate when people tell me, it's your year, girl. I'm like, it's my life.
But yes, come on and say that. Yes.
But definitely this year, you've got some major milestones. What was your favorite or your most, like, momentous milestone thus far this year?
Probably interviewing Oprah.
That would do it.
Yeah, I gotta say. That must have been it. And when she grabbed my head, I was like, well...
I saw that picture. Wait, so for me, who's not in or of this world, I'm like a hanger on. So I just ride Tiffany's delightful coattails. No, tell me, how did this happen? How did you get to sit next? How does one sit next to Oprah and get to ask her questions?
So first, Oprah did this. She chose 100 people to be a part of her Super Soul 100 list, her first Super Soul 100 list, and I was one of them. That was in April, so that was when I first met her, and then her team at OWN was just like, you're dope, and we think you're pretty cool, so they had me come to LA for the premiere of their latest show, Greenleaf, that Oprah stars in, and executive produces, and they were like, yeah, so we want you to interview our cast while you're here. What? And I was like, okay, cool. I didn't think the cast would include Oprah. I was thinking it was everybody but Oprah.
Well, you think Oprah they would lead the first with that. Person.
Right. Oprah was the first person who sat next to me.
Wow.
They probably purposefully don't tell you, though.
Well, they told me the day of. They were like, yes, so you are going to be interviewing Oprah. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, I'm going to be interviewing who? Oprah? Yeah.
What did your mom say?
She was watching, because it was all going down on Facebook Live. Okay. And she was watching it on Facebook Live as it was happening. And she was like, oh, my God. I found out from my sister that she was texting my sister like, oh, my God, I'm watching her right now. Like, they all stayed up late because in LA, it was 8 o'clock in LA time, which was 10 p.m. actually it was 8 o'clock LA time, so 10 p.m. Chicago time. But it was incredible. It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I could only imagine, you know, when you went down this journey. So for those of you who don't know, Lovey is Nigerian.
Yes.
If you read any of her blog, you know.
So growing up in a Niger household where, like, you know, your choices for careers are doctor, lawyer, engineer, pharmacist, in that order, you know, how was that transition, like, being allowed to kind of be yourself and do this? Was it easy? Were your parents always kind of on board, or was it something you had to fight for?
I think for me, so when I started college, I said I was going to be a doctor. My major coming in was psychology pre-med, but then I dropped that pre-med after first semester of college when I got my first D of my whole academic career. And I was like, I don't even like hospitals. But I didn't actually tell anybody in my family that I dropped the pre-med. They just came to graduation.
What?
And, oh, yeah.
I love
it. Oh, yeah. They just came to graduation. I got my degree in psychology, so I kept the psychology piece. But then I think the whole time, at that point, I basically proved that, like, I'm not ridiculously irresponsible. Uh-huh. And I hadn't done anything up to that point that was crazy. So I was kind of left to my own devices. But, of course, when you're trying to be a writer, I mean, even though I was still fighting it tooth and nails, people just think you're playing on the internet. So I still had a full-time job for up until 2010.
That's good to know. How did you balance them both?
Oh, I would come home at night and write, because honestly, I just love writing and I love marketing, which is what I was doing full time. So it was like I was kind of enjoying both of it. But really, writing is what I was supposed to be doing. And I think it became really, really real probably in 2012 when I did press coverage of the Academy Awards red carpet and backstage. That's when it actually kind of like solidified for my mom that, oh, she's not just playing on the internet. Okay.
I mean, you're the first person I go to when I'm looking for like a pop culture wrap up. Like your game, I found you through your Game of Thrones reviews. That's like my favorite thing. I just love how you embrace the nerd. You know what I mean? Like you're so yourself, you embrace all like the little quirks. And then you were doing the Scandal reviews for, was it Vulture?
I remember that.
No, I actually started Scandal reviews for myself. Like, And then Comcast had me do it for them for like 6 months. So everything I've been doing has kind of happened organically. So I just paid attention to what I loved doing and I did it, even when I wasn't getting paid to do it.
That's an aha moment for those of you guys who know what that means, Oprah lovers. Aha moment.
Yeah, like everyone's always like, oh, how did you plan? I didn't plan anything, which is interesting. I didn't plan any of it. I didn't have any type of strategy on this. I'm going to become an amazing writer. I was just doing it every day. I was writing every day. I was blogging before it was popular to blog just because I had things to say and I wanted to say them. So I did.
Let's get to like the real nitty gritty, because I think people look and they think like, oh, well, Lovey's funny and she knows all these people and it seems like it's easy. But I always like to know what's the hard part? What's the part that you're like, yo, I still struggle with this, or this part is not that fun, to give people like that. It's obviously it's awesome, but there are parts that are not so awesome. And how do you deal with that?
With everything, people always see the glory without the grit behind it. You know, it's, when you're a writer, there's no straight path. There's no blueprint. You don't necessarily, you can get a degree. That doesn't mean you're going to get a job. I think it comes down to pushing past those hard times and really standing in your worth. Because one of the things about being a creative is people will constantly challenge you on your pricing. Photographers feel this. You know, artists feel this. Anybody who's working for themselves feel this.
Yes.
People feel like they can always negotiate you down. Like, you can't walk into H&M and be like, hey, I know this shirt costs $17. Can I pay $12 for it? No.
Can you preach it, please? I'm like, Jesus. I need to hear.
So it's just like, no, you have to accept people's value is what it is. And it got easier for me to say no to people and say no, but if you ever have the money, come back. And you know what's funny is a lot of times people are afraid to say no because they're afraid that they'll lose money. But a lot of the people who I've said no to, hey, come back, have come back. just because they're like, you know what, I've got my money together. And I understand that you are worth what you are charging because you have proven this over and over again.
Yeah. I hear some. Is that a little person in the background?
That's my niece, Lord.
I was going to say, I have no babies. I know Mandy don't have no babies.
I just closed the door.
Kids are like, damn your life. I'm over here basically, having a good time.
That's your niece. So what's your family like? Let's talk a little bit about your family if we can switch gears for a little bit.
I have a Nigerian family. Honestly, they're just regular. Like, I don't know. They are interesting. They're funny. They're shady. I have a very Nigerian mom who is amazing at cooking jollof rice.
Because jollof rice is clearly better than Ghanaian rice. That's not even, let's not even start because.
Right.
Yes, right. The jollof rice, so there's a war going on, man. Yes. That the average
I know about the Ghanaians and the Nigerian wars. Oh, okay. My two best friends in college were.
Somebody had the nerve to post, y'all don't know nothing, Liberian jollof. I said, who? Liberian jollof rice.
You're not even in this. You don't even go to the same school as us. No.
I know, right? You're still taking a short bus. What? No offense to Liberians. I love y'all. We're talking about your rice. And yeah.
wait, Lovey, you just said school. Now, I heard a rumor that you went to school with none other than Michelle Obama. Not with Michelle Obama, but the same school as Michelle Obama. Can you confirm?
Yeah, same school. Whitney Young in Chicago.
So this school is
20 years apart.
Well, of course. Yeah. Oh, my God. So this school is like what? The Golden School?
It is actually like Whitney Young is known for being excellent. It's one of the best city high schools in the country. It's actually been ranked every year since its existence. So yeah, like I think one of the first Black astronauts went to Whitney Young too. So we're just amazing.
Yeah, it just pushes out winners. So I want to learn more about this book. I know, like I already pre-ordered mine, and I'm excited. So tell us about like your book and what people can expect and when they can expect it.
So my book is called I'm Judging You, The Do Better Manual, and it is a collection of essays on life, culture, social media, and fame, and why we are all ridiculous and why we can do better. So, and I include myself in that. I'm also ridiculous and I can do better because as a Nigerian, I can't be on time for nothing.
What?
I can't. I'm terrible. I'm late for the most random things. I'm late for conference calls. I'm just terrible. So this book is just me turning the mirror on all of us. And it's basically my blog on steroids, but it's brand new content. It's like me at my best. So I'm excited.
I don't think people get, you know, as I'm a writer, I've studied journalism. That's my background. But what you do, like, I don't want people to think that it's easy. Like, it's not easy to be funny and smart as a writer. So who were some of your influences, like, when you sit down to write? Like, who taught you to be funny or to see humor in your writing?
Honestly, my writing is who I am in real life. Like, people who know me very well in real life will read my blog and say, I heard your voice. Because yes. It is truly me. Like, you can... See, you can read my blog and be like, this is a conversation I would have with her over brunch. So honestly, it's been me just being true to myself and my voice. But I, of course, have people who've inspired me. And one of them is Angela Nizzle. She wrote The Broke Diaries like 10 or 15 years ago. And I remember back when I still had a full-time job, I found her book and I was reading it on the bus cracking up. Like, you know, one of those laughs where you can't keep yourself from laughing and everyone around just looking at you funny.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, when I read your blog on the train.
Yeah. Yes, it was one of those where I was just like, oh my God, I don't even care. Because I just found myself guffawing in different places. And she ends up being like one of the writers of one of my favorite shows ever, Scrubs. She's a Black woman. Mm-hmm. Her and I end up actually finding each other online because I was like, I'm a huge fan. We actually end up becoming friends. So it's kind of crazy. It was like a full circle moment for me. She's one. I'm inspired by anybody who really stands in their power as critics, as smart people who live in a world that has a lot to criticize. And just smart people in general inspire me.
One of my favorite of your recent stories has been, well, you're really protective of the Obamas, as I think we all should be.
Yes.
But your post about Malia and what she's gone through? Because she can't she live? Why tell us? Do you? Why do you feel? I mean, I can kind of guess, but why do you feel protective of Malia and Sasha and the Obamas in general?
Well, I'm protective of Black girls in general because I think the world is too critical of Black people, especially Black girls. Like, we get the brunt of everything. We are torn to pieces even more than anybody else. So for me, I want to be one of the people who's balancing it out, you know. So when Black girls are being, when people are calling us those types of names, I'm over here like, no, that's not fair. Because when you compare the way people treat us to how they treat other people, you see the discrepancy. So for me, it's a matter of, oh no. I think standing up for Black girls is one of my favorite hobbies.
No, I love that. So where do you see yourself? Like, what? I know you said you don't really plan. I remember hearing Oprah say that once and thinking she was bugging. Like, she just kind of like leans into the experiences life throws her way. But I totally get it now. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you do have an overarching like, well, this is kind of like what I'd love to do. Like, is there anything huge or major that you have not accomplished that you're like, you know, this is on my vision board that I'd like to do in the future?
Honestly, my book was like the biggest goal I had set for myself thus far. And for me, that goal was to become a best-selling author. So I'm hoping by the end of this fall, I will say check. Now, what comes after that, I'm not sure. Because again, I haven't planned for any of this. And thus far, I've done pretty well by just kind of waiting and seeing what the universe has for me.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe TV's next.
I saw that on Facebook.
I mean, you're sitting next to Oprah now. Oprah and Ava DuVernay are creating original content featuring, you know, all Black cast, mainly Black cast. I mean, do you see yourself getting into that world? There's been so much talk about the need for more Black female writers, especially.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think that might end up being the organic next step for me. That's the feedback I keep getting from people. People who are even in TV have been like, you should be writing for TV. So I'm open to it. I am very open to it.
And you know, Shonda is like your BFF too. I was like, look at Shonda. Because you know, we have brunch on Sundays. So
Shonda Rhimes is Bay. Like, I actually called her Fairy Bay Mother. Because she has taken a liking to my work that is, like, it's beyond flattering. Like, there needs to be a different word beyond flattering. She's tweeted randomly about my book. She's talked about my book while she's been in rooms, on panels. So it's been crazy, yeah.
Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Has it sunken in? People ask me sometimes when something big happens, like, how do you feel? And honestly, I don't know. Has it sunken in, you know, that these things are happening? Or are you still kind of like, yeah, I'm just like, you know, living life, this is how it is? Or do you actually feel the magnitude of like what's happening?
I don't feel the magnitude of what's happening, which sounds weird to even say. Mm-hmm. I don't, because I don't think I take enough time to sit there processing like, holy smokes, that just happened. Like last night, for example, the head of the Writers Guild of America and like, I think Northwest tweeted that he loved my book. And I was like, what? Wow. And I did what for like 10 minutes and then moved on. So I think, I don't want to lose myself in the magnitude of what's happening. And I don't want to be like, oh man, spending days congratulating myself. Yeah. But I do sometimes kind of scroll through. I use my Instagram and my Facebook account now kind of like a log. And honestly, there are some evenings when before I go to sleep, I scroll through my Instagram to remind myself of what's happened. And that those moments, I'm like, wow. Okay.
More like now, wow. Like, you know.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's just, yeah. It's crazy, but awesome. And when I look at what you're doing, I was telling her, Mandy, I was, before we had our little mix up in earlier, I was just telling Lovey, like, it's that Lovey, like, when you're a Nigerian kid, like, your parents don't want to hear anything about any other possible major. But when you can show another Niger kid that has succeeded without going the traditional route of doctor, lawyer, engineer, then they give you kind of like, well, okay, so Lovey, like, literally, there's going to be hundreds of thousands of kids, Nigerian kids, in the next unforeseeable future saying, like, but mommy, look at Lovey. She didn't go to medical school, and she's killing it. And, you know, mom's like, oh, well, you know, okay, Lovey.
No, that's real, because part of the reason why I fought being a writer for so long is because I hadn't seen anybody who had made a great living at it while they're not, like, writing, if they're not Toni Morrison, you know what I mean? So not having that example was part of the reason why I was like, nah, I can't do this. So, like, the idea that I could be somebody's example of, like, I can do this, that's incredible.
Now, speaking of making a living as a writer, on, you know, you have a couple different websites now, Awesomely Techie, which focuses more on tech, entrepreneurship, businesses, and then you have your pop culture blog, Awesomely Lovey. But, I mean, as you're scaling up to business and you're, like, earning an income, how do you learn how to manage that and budget when you're, you know, going from a full-time job to just, you know, owning your own business?
Well, you learn quickly, because if you spend your money, if you get a check and you spend your money, and the next time you get a check is in 4 months and you're like, oh, shoot, I shouldn't spend all that money, you will learn quick to manage your cash flow. That, like, you might get windfalls of money, but you better save that money so you're not you're not going to be broke and eating ramen noodles 3 months later. But that's also one thing that people don't teach enough, is when you work for yourself, you might feel like you balling when you get a check, but you just know 30% of that check does not belong to me. Like, 30% of that check is not yours. That is the IRS's. But one of the hardest things I would say about being an entrepreneur is when you get your tax bill, holy smokes. You know, it's cool to get money taken out your check every 2 weeks. You don't feel it as hard. But when you see a bill that is over five figures, you have to write a check for the IRS, that stuff will make you sit down real quick.
Do you have help there? Do you have accountants? I mean, how much of it is you, and how much is it of it are you getting help with?
Well, I have an accountant that I've been using for the last 7 years. I haven't really used her like a bookkeeper like I should. I was actually talking to somebody the other day that I need to do that next, like, because she probably needs to, like, check me on my spending. So, yeah.
Or you can even get a separate, because my accountant was like, oh, these receipts, that's cute, but I don't do that. And so I have a separate bookkeeper where literally, she lives in LA, once a month, I mail her all of my receipts. I'm petty. Like, if I go through the toll for 50 cents, I'm like, a receipt, please. I send all my receipts. And then if somebody sends me an invoice, let's say I pay, like, my designer to make a like a logo or something, then I forward her those email invoices, and then I send her the receipts, and every month she puts together a quarterly report or monthly report, and then every quarter a quarterly report, and I sit with my accountant every quarter. Like, I just sat with him literally last week, brought the report, and I was able to pay, because I pay every quarter now, to write a check and say, okay, because it's easier to write, you know, like a $3,000 check or four, then, like, at the end of the year, you have, like, you know, a $20,000 check. So that's what I would.
Legit. Yeah. I've been saying that I was going to, I was saying that I was going to be on quarterly, but I just haven't done it. It's been such a crazy year that I've been like, oh, man, shoot, I just missed three quarters. Oh, shoot, what, see?
Yeah. No, that's normal. But the sooner, especially once you get to a certain tax bracket, you're going to have to pay quarterly. Because the government is like, that, no, we want our money up front. He told me that last year was the last year that I could get away with not paying. So if you're looking for a bookkeeper, just let me know. Because I see too many entrepreneurs who are so dope at what they do, but their business fails because of the back end, not because of their talent. you know?
Yeah, see, whew, I was like, the IRS, I do not play with them. Y'all will get your money. Yes, here you go.
Who taught you about money growing up? What was that? Who were your sort of financial influences?
None. I had zero.
Oh, like, I don't feel alone anymore.
Having conversations about money was not really what I did growing up. I think I kind of self-taught on that.
She's like, nope. They didn't talk about it in my household, except for to say there's no money.
Exactly.
Well, I don't want to let you go before we talk about a project that's really near and dear to your heart. And I want to hear more about it. It's the Red Pump Project, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but it benefits HIV/AIDS for women and girls.
Yeah, so Red Pump is the nonprofit that I co-founded 7 years ago with a friend of mine. And we do raise awareness about the impact of HIV and AIDS on women and girls. And we started it because I met somebody who had 20 cousins who were living with her grandmother in Malawi because their parents had died from AIDS-related complications. And she had a friend who had told her, a close friend who told that he was HIV positive. And we were like, oh man, we didn't even know this epidemic was still this bad because we don't even hear about it anymore. So for us, it was important to generate conversation. We wanted to decrease stigma about it because we're like, if we're not hearing about it, everyone else isn't hearing about it. And nobody's talking about this issue. So let's do it. And we started as a social media campaign. We started by getting bloggers to talk about it on National Women and Girls HIV and AIDS Awareness Day, which is March 10th every year. And that first year, which was in 2009, we had like 135 bloggers join us. So that was cool. And then it became a nonprofit organization, and we've been going for 7 years. We do events around the country, around like safe sex and teaching women and girls that it's okay to be sexual, but here are the tools you need to know to be safe. So, and we wear red shoes, by the way, so that's why we call the Red Pump Project. We use red shoes to kind of grab people's attention. So a lot of people see me in red shoes and they're like, yes.
Well, I mean, I heard you might like shoes a little bit.
Yes.
I have a shoe problem. In fact, my accountant, I think it's my accountant's fault too. Let me tell you why. Because she told me that red shoes are tax deductible expenses for me now.
Yep.
And I was like, well, then I am doing business every time I buy a pair of red shoes.
No, but she's right, though. Like, just being able to write off every little thing is going to be in your
bed. I can write off certain clothes that I buy because I'm always speaking.
Mm-hmm. So your haircut?
My haircuts are now business expenses, y'all.
What? I'm like, if we talk about business, I'm eating ice cream. I'm like, I need that cone receipt.
You're like, that was part of my business meeting. Thank you.
No, that's just dope. My dad would say, more grease to your elbow. And, you know, you make.
That is such a Niger thing. Oh, my God.
More grease to your elbow. And we're just like really, really like proud of you. And just. Because what I love most about you, I forget where I was. I was just, it was a group of black women. I don't know where I was, but your name came up. And, you know what? I don't know if you know Evita from No Madness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she just moved. She had a housewarming. And there were so many dope women in the room. Glenda from Black Girls Rock was there.
Oh.
Just a bunch of dope black women here because Evita moved to Newark where I live. And your name came up and across the board, everyone was like, you know what's so dope about Lovie? Like, yo, from people who knew you from way back to people who know you now, just always the same. Funny as hell, cool as hell, just never any airs or arrogance or any of that. And, you know, and that's saying a lot for Nigerians because, I mean, if we're nothing else, we're prideful. And, yeah, so it's just dope to, like, when I first met you, because, Mandy, I first met Lovie in person in Barbados last year.
Yes,
my cousin had a she owns this bridal magazine called Munaluchi, and she had this retreat, and oh my God, I never laughed so hard.
We had a good time. We did.
And I can't wait for it to do it again in November. I mean, yep. December this year in New Orleans. But Yeah, I just want to, one, thank you for always just being so down to earth and cool and just continue to rise. Where can people find you? Like, if they want to follow you, if they want to follow your shoes, if they want to get your book.
Where can they find her?
On the down to earth thing, people, I always tell people that, like, honestly, it's what happens when you don't take full credit for everything that's happening for you. Mm. It is basically when you understand that you are standing on the shoulder of goddesses and goddesses, and basically you're a product of God's grace. So I don't have a right to be all arrogant and trifling, because I have enough people in my life who'd be like, girl, sit down. So, but yeah, so everyone can find me on the interwebs. I am all over the place. Lovie on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and that's L-U-V-V-I-E. I've actually trained Google to where if you actually type in just my first name, all my stuff comes up. So that's cool. But yeah, I'm easy to find. And then I have my Shoestagram, my shoe, my Instagram account that's dedicated to my addiction to shoes. And that's Must Love Shoes, M-U-S-T-L-U-V-V Shoes. So yeah, people can see my kicks of the day and all that stuff.
I need to follow that right now. Lovie, before we let you go, I want to do a quick little rapid fire question round. This is the This is the first time we're doing it, and I feel like
I'm like, what in the hell? This is new. All right.
Surprise. I got ideas. I got lots of ideas behind the scenes. Okay, so got about, I don't know, 8 or so questions. But you have to answer the first thing that comes first thing that comes to mind. Okay. All right. You ready?
Yep.
Barack or Michelle?
Fierce.
Game of Thrones or Scandal?
Unmissable.
No. No, I didn't explain the rules of the game right.
I'm over here gagging. Lovie. Yo, you can choose one, Lovie. I'm like, what happened?
Sorry, it's my fault. I said the first thing that comes to mind. But I meant choose one.
Oh my God, I'm so slow. You said first thing that comes to mind, and I was like, hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my God. And I'm sorry. Sitting here, and you shoot my face like, wait, what's happening?
Freaking hilarious. Okay, let's do it. That's funny.
Don't worry. This is just a startup phase. We're still in beta testing. We're still in A/B testing. All right. Try again. All right. Barack or Michelle?
Michelle.
Game of Thrones or Scandal?
Game of Thrones.
Why?
Keep going, Mandy. Next.
Okay. Okay. This is going to be easy for you probably. New shoes or food?
New shoes, unless the food is rice.
All right. Oprah or Gail?
Oh, come on, Oprah.
Aw, poor Gail. All right, nighttime or daytime?
Nighttime.
Text or call?
Call.
Instagram or Facebook?
Facebook.
Breakfast or brunch?
Brunch. Yep, because I'll be late to all the types of breakfast, yeah.
Okay. Last one, Kim or Taylor?
Oh, hell no. Neither.
That was a tricky black girl question.
Right. Like, what? Neither one of them?
Okay, fine. There's a answer. Answer B is none of the above.
Yes.
No, you have to keep the misunderstanding in the beginning. That's just epic.
Oh, yeah. No, please do. Because your people going to be like, why are people who are supposedly so smart?
Oh, my God. This was like my favorite interview ever. Thank you so much for joining us, Lovie.
Oh, my God. This is super fun.
You just made my day. Thank you, Lovie. Everyone, go to awesomelylovie.com right now.
Indeed.
All right, so you're welcome for that interview. I feel like we just made your Tuesday, so we're gonna piece out a little bit early on this week's episode. But before we go, Tiffany has a reminder for you all.
Remember, we have a contest in that we want to know, what does Brown Ambition mean to you? And we are going to pick anywhere from 5 to 10 listeners to join Mandy and I for dinner in New York City on us. I mean, the transportation is on you, but the dinner is on us. And we're just going to sit, talk, be brown and fabulous and fun. So if you can email us at
brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
What brown ambition means to you. And I guess in the subject line, what should they put? Just like.
Put anything you want. Just put brown ambition contest.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we want to eat because it's our 1 year anniversary. We're turning one soon. And we want to meet like some of the listeners and just have a good time with y'all. So make sure that you email us. Make sure you share, you know, what Brown Ambition means to you. Not necessarily the show, just in general, what Brown Ambition means to you. And we will pick our top faves and we'll have dinner.
I can't wait. Food, booze, brown girls.
I don't even drink, but honey, I don't need to drink.
Fine. I'll have yours.
Oh man, today was just such an awesome day. That was just so fun, so much fun with Lovey. Yeah. So I hope you guys enjoyed.
Thanks for making it happen.
Oh no, no problem. Honestly, I didn't even have to do anything. She was looking to be interviewed. So.
Okay.
All right, y'all. We will see you next week. And I don't know. Keep it brown. Keep it ambitious.
Bricka, bricka. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.